Good morning. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Awesome. Well, you can all hear me. That's great. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Are you ready to worship? Amen. Trevor's on call today, so we get an upgrade to Billy. Woohoo! No, it's not an upgrade. It's an even swap. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up in this place. May your Holy Spirit be with us. May you stir our hearts. God, may you teach us. May you be pleased with us. We ask you in every home that's listening and right here in this place, God, that your Spirit would stir us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Well, good morning, church family. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Save the wretch like me.
lives. I lost my guitar pick sometime during that song. I don't know when. Thank the Lord for fingernails. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for today. Thank you that our Redeemer lives. Jesus is alive and well. Yes. Yeah. And we love you for who you are. In his name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I believe it's time for the children's sermon.
Sunday. I am always so glad to be at church with you. Makes Sunday my favorite day of the week, it does. Hi there. All right. I don't know if most of you know this, but a little over a week ago, I went to visit family. And they live in central New York, so I had to get on an airplane. How many of you have flown on an airplane before?
One time.
One time? Okay, so you've been on an airplane. Now, I like being on an airplane. I get on airplanes. I have a book. I like to read. I open a book, and I just read. I see other people having movies on their things, but we just get on the airplane, and we enjoy the ride. And I got to thinking, why am I so comfortable and calm on this airplane enjoying my ride to New York? And I think it's because I trust the pilot. I trust that the pilot has checked the airplane and it's safe. I trust that the pilot knows the direction to get to New York, that he knows the pathway. I trust that he knows how to get the plane off the ground and land it again. Because I have trust in my pilot, I can get on that airplane, I can sit, and I can open my book, and I am not worried at all. I enjoy myself. I am just happy. I'm good. No worries for that period of time that I am on that airplane. So then I got to thinking, well, what if I was the opposite kind of person? What if I was a person who did not trust the pilot, right? So then I get on the airplane, I go, oh, my goodness, is this plane safe? Will a wing fall off? Oh, my goodness, now I'm scared that the plane isn't safe. And then I think about my pilot. I mean, like, oh, my goodness, what if the pilot doesn't know how to get to New York? I could end up in Ohio or China, or I could end up anywhere if the pilot doesn't know how to get me to my destination. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, does this pilot know how to fly this particular airplane? Not another airplane, the plane I'm on. Does the pilot know how to get this plane off the ground? And what if we come across a storm? Does this pilot know how to go around or under? I mean, I could worry myself into quite the tizzy. The flight would be so stressful. I'd be scared. I'd be worried. I'd be a mess. That's what I'd be if I did not trust my pilot. So I'm thinking that is very much the way it is when I trust God to be in charge of my life. When I trust God to be the pilot in my life, so I'm suggesting you do the same, let God be the pilot in your life, and he's in charge of that control stick, and he knows where you're going, he knows how to get there, he knows what kind of weather we're going to meet. He knows if we should go over, above, around, that all that. If I trust God with my life, then I will have peace, a peace that goes beyond understanding of other people, because it has nothing to do with my life. It has everything to do with trusting God. I get to choose if I want to be scared living my life or if I'm going to trust God to take me through my life, that God knows where I'm going. And when we trust that way, not only do we get a peace that just goes beyond our own understanding because God is in control, but we also gain a confidence in where we're going, because God knows where we need to go. And once we have that, He doesn't. He can be the one in the driver's seat. He's the one piloting our airplane. He can make sure our life goes exactly where it goes. And we get a confidence because we know where that we are where we are supposed to be. We know we are doing what we are supposed to do. We have all that faith and trust in God that He is in control. Now, we do have to be careful that we don't say, hey, God, can I just touch the control stick for a minute here? It's clear sailing. There's nothing out there. All things are good. I got it. He lets us do that. Did you know that? He lets us take control if that's what we think we want. But do you know what? I don't know my future. I don't know what's happening after church, let alone what's happening next week. God knows. He knows it all. So if I leave Him in charge of my life, in charge of where my life is going, I can have peace and confidence that I am exactly where I need to be. I don't have to worry about it. It's just like trusting the pilot to get me from Texas to New York. I can sit and read in complete confidence that the pilot has it under control. In my life, if I trust God, there's no need to worry. He's got it all. He knows it all. All I have to do is trust Him to be in charge and to take me where I need to go. Let's bow our heads. Oh, God, I am so glad that You are the pilot of our lives. You are in full control and will get us to our destination each and every time. Help us to keep our hands off the control stick, Lord, and may we always trust in You. This I pray in Your most holy name. Amen.
Good morning again. I want to invite you, if you are able, if you'll rise as we say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Got a few things going on this week. Just a reminder, on August the 22nd, which is roughly a little less than a month away, we will be going to our second service. We'll have an early service at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:45, and also that same week, we will be going back to our individual Sunday school classes. I've had several people that have really enjoyed the group Sunday school class. I'm glad that we have been able to provide that through our COVID months. But we will be going back to our individual classes on the 22nd, and then our late service will be at 10:45. Also this week, the youth, which one is this one, Brent? The mid-high? High school camp this week. How many campers you got?
10?
10 or so?
10.
You looked at Shauna. Yeah. We have 10 senior high campers going out to Butman this week, so we want to be prayerful about them. If you'll bow your heads with me, spend just a moment just thanking the Lord for who He is and what He's done for you, how He feels about you. Father, you are good and you are holy and you are our portion. You're our hope. You're our salvation. You're our Redeemer. You're our comfort and our peace. Father, whatever we need, that is what you are. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that you loved us enough to send him, and in obedience to your will, Father, Jesus said yes to the cross, and he said yes to us. And we thank you is not enough for that. We are humbled, and we are grateful, and we're blown away at your goodness. Father, I don't know why you are even mindful of us, but yet not only are you mindful of us, but you loved us enough to send Jesus. Father, be with the campers this week. Be with the workers, the servants who will be out there loving on those senior high. Lord, I just pray that it'd be more than, I pray that they'd have fun, but it'd be more than just a week of fun. Father, I pray that you keep them safe, and I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that you would demonstrate and show them how deep your love is for them. Father, as we move forward as a church and as your children, God, give us wisdom, give us vision for the future. Continue, Father, to knit our hearts together. Continue to give us a heart of unity where we are unified in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray against the schemes of the enemy that would try to disrupt and divide us as your people. Father, keep our hearts unified together. We pray now this morning. We pray the prayer that you taught us, Jesus, that has been prayed for 2,000 years by other believers. We pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, I invite you, the offering plates are on the rails up front, and also you can give online. You can also register your attendance with us this morning online. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Thank you. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending.
be seated.
You know, we just got back last week from Promise Keepers. Every time we sing I Exalt Thee, I flash back to back, I guess it was in the late 90s, when, at a Promise Keepers at the old AT&T Stadium. And I've shared this before, but many of you weren't here, but there was a section on the floor. There were 60,000 men in the old AT&T Stadium. And we were singing that song and worshiping, and there was a section of the floor that was for the hearing impaired, and they had a man on a chair in front of their section that was signing to them as we sang things, and the people in that section that were hearing impaired were signing. When we began to sing I Exalt Thee, I looked down there, and many of them were standing in their chairs, not all of them, but many of them were standing in their chairs, and they were signing I Exalt Thee with their hands in the air facing heaven. It's a powerful moment. Do you exalt Him? Amen. Amen. If you are visiting with us today, if you're our guest, we hope that you feel Christ in this place and His Holy Spirit. We hope you feel the love of His people and invite you to, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, should be, with a blue stripe that says guests. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know that you were here. I will be at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you at the end of the service. You can bring that card. I've got a free gift for our guests, and would love to get to know you and meet you. Welcome. If you will turn with me to Luke 22, beginning in verse 31. These are the words of Christ. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Now this is at the Last Supper. This is preparing for Jesus as He's preparing to go to the cross. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. We skip forward. Jesus goes to the garden and he prays, and we skipped forward to verse 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Verse 54. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Now listen to verse 61. Wow. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And went outside and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you now to speak. We ask you to speak in power and authority and to change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing the sermon series, Overcomer, today. Overcomer. Today's message is Peter overcoming failure. Have you ever, so I'll start with this. Have you ever felt like you have failed Jesus or perhaps disappointed him? I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'll say it anyway. I feel like the Lord's telling me to say it. Long story short, we had a gentleman that was mowing our yard, and he just stopped mowing and didn't tell me, and I kept trying to respond to him for, and this just happened here in the last couple of weeks, and I kept trying to respond to him, and he wouldn't respond back, and it went a month, and we're out of town, and all kinds of stuff, and I was mad. Anybody, did you know preachers get mad? Marv, you never got mad when you were in the pulpit. I was mad, I finally tracked them down, and I found them in their pickup, and I just said, hey, what's going on? I mean, I didn't do anything. It's okay. I didn't do anything to disrepresent you or Christ or anything, but I was still, in my heart, I was mad, and I said, what's the deal? I mean, what's going on? And they basically, long story short, they said, we got upset with you about some scheduling stuff, and we just decided not to mow. And I sent a text. I didn't say anything ugly, but I let him know how I felt about that. And as I was pressing the send button, I was like, I probably shouldn't send this. Probably shouldn't send this, but this dude was wrong. He treated me with disrespect, and it upset me. Lord, forgive me for that. Like I said, I didn't curse at him or yell at him or any of that kind of stuff, but I let him know that I thought that was wrong. And have we ever just disappointed the Lord? Or, and maybe it's something bigger than, you know, you got mad at your mower. Maybe it's something bigger. Have we ever felt like we've just failed him? I mean, I look at Peter's life and I think, holy cow. I mean, Peter, now I've just jotted down a few here. Peter witnessed so many things as he walked with Jesus those 3 years. He saw him change water to wine. He saw him basically lead them to this great catch of fish. He saw him heal the blind and the deaf and the lame and lepers. He saw them. He saw Jesus still the storm. He saw Jesus walk on water and heal. And Jesus allowed him to walk on water for a moment. He saw him cast out demons. He saw him raise Lazarus and others from the dead. He saw him feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He saw Jesus transfigured before him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And at the very end, we know, if we look at John, this version of Luke says that one of the disciples cut off the ear of this servant of the high priest. But John 18 says it was Peter. He saw Jesus grab that ear and stick it back on the person. I mean, he saw all of that, and yet when push came to shove in his moment of crisis, I don't know the man. Can you imagine the shame that he was feeling? I want to tell you, I think about the shame that Judas was feeling and the shame that Peter were feeling. And their stories turned out dramatically different, didn't they? Other than Judas, I can't think of anyone that had reason to feel this shame. Now, I want to if you struggle with shame, I want to tell you, I've said this many times and I'll continue to say it, shame is not from God. Is this on? Shame, if you feel shame, that's from the enemy. That's not from God. Now, conviction's a whole different thing. That's what I'm feeling about my text to this this mower. I'm feeling convicted that I probably shouldn't have hit send. I should have just let him kind of treat me bad and gone on about my business and actually prayed for the guy. So what can we learn as we contrast the end of Judas's life and how Peter, what he learned and how he overcame this failure? First thing, to overcome failure, as we look at Peter, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. I mean, let me read to you. It's in your notes there, in your handout, but Matthew 14, just a few verses here. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So he's fixing his eyes on Jesus. I can just see it. The waves are going crazy. The storm is all over the place, and he's fixed on Jesus. Jesus says, "Come." He's walking on the water, doing something miraculous. But then, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. So when we take our eyes off of Christ and we begin to look at our circumstances, that's not the path. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" That moment when Jesus, I mean, when Peter denies knowing Jesus, and yeah, you husbands are going to be able to relate to this. You ever get the look from your wife? maybe wives get that too, but you ever get the look? I can tell when Cheryl's happy with me and when she's disappointed in me. Probably does. The disappointment hardly ever happens. But I was used to it when I got married because my mom had the look. So, but you get that look, it's like, just that. Can you imagine Peter when he denied knowing Jesus that third time the rooster crowed and Jesus gives him the look, like, and that moment. It says that Peter says he went outside and wept bitterly. So that's the state he finds himself in. Now, I'm going to shift forward to the next passage that we're going to look at, Mark 16. And this is after Jesus has gone to the cross and he's been resurrected. Now this is interesting. Stay with me here. Mark 16:6. "Don't be alarmed," the angel said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." Now listen to this. Here's what the angel said. "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." Why is that in there? Wasn't Peter one of the disciples? "Go and tell his disciples that he's risen." Oh, and also tell Peter. Do you think the angel might have been given a heads up that Peter is feeling pretty low? Peter is ashamed of himself. But it was, I think it's so much like our Lord and Savior it was almost like the angel was saying, "Reassure Peter that it's okay. All of this was part of the plan. And I know he denied knowing me, and I know that he was disappointed in himself, and I gave him the look and all of that stuff, but now go and tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen." Man, isn't that just like God to be concerned about restoring Peter? Secondly, to overcome failure, we must ask for and receive his mercy and grace. And I love the passage, and this you can find this in John 20. It's there in your notes. But on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and his first words were, "Peter, how dare you?" No. What was his first words to the disciples, including Peter? "Peace be with you." Man, it was just a restoration of because Peter may have been the one that denied him, but the rest of them, except John, deserted him. They're all scattered. After he said this, so that just imagine they're scared to death. They've got the doors locked. They've heard that he's alive, but they haven't seen him, and so they're just still kind of fearful. And his first words to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, after he said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. There's this restoration that's happening. "Go and tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. Peace be with you." The disciples were overjoyed. And I say this often, to love God, we must first realize how much he loves us. Because if we don't understand how he loves us, then it's just, we're just acting out of tradition and obedience, just trying to, like, well, okay, I'm just going to buckle down here and I'm going to love God. No, it's a response to knowing how he loves you. Is this on? Is anybody listening to this? It's a response. This is how we know what love is. 1 John tells us, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So we understand that Jesus demonstrated love. It was this sacrificial demonstration of love by going to a cross for us. And to overcome failure, we must ask and receive his grace and his mercy. Last point. To overcome failure, we must respond in service to others. You know, I was visiting with some folks this morning, and we were talking about, you know, the idea of, you know, salvation, and then yet Scripture tells us that we're going to be judged when we get to heaven, that we're going to be judged. So we're talking about all of this, and one of the things that I said was, even though, you know, when we accept Christ, when we're saved, that's not the finish line. That's the starting gate. God has given us, he has given us a task to go and love on his behalf, to go and share the gospel. Now, so Peter again, we're going to pick it up with Peter again. John 21, he's denied Christ, he's felt that shame, he's been restored, and they're having breakfast with the resurrected Jesus. John 21, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." So he's asking, "Do you love me?" Now there's a response. There's something expected of us. "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, isn't it ironic? He asked him three times. How many times did he deny Christ? Three times. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said again, "Feed my sheep." So as we are overcoming the failures in our life, when we don't quite walk out our faith as well as we should, as we're overcoming those things, I think we've got to keep our eye on Jesus, and we've got to ask for and receive his grace and his mercy. And then there's a response to service to others. I'm going to show you a video. It's a couple of minutes long here. We just got this week. Y'all know about Houses for Healing, our ministry, Houses for Healing. And many of you helped build that house. Many of you have helped pay for that house. Many of you are in active ministry providing food and rides and prayer and all sorts of things for as we get residents in our house. We got this video this week from someone, our current guest in the house. So I want you to listen to this if you would.
Hello, my name is Nathan Rouse. I wanted to take a moment and send a message to the Wiley United Methodist Church. A few weeks ago, my mom was admitted to the hospital for double pneumonia. After about 36 hours, she deteriorated and had to be placed on a ventilator. About 12 hours after that, I think, she had a massive heart attack. And over the last couple of weeks, my mom has been, to be honest, she's been fighting for life. She's been, she's just been a roller coaster. And last week, I had been in Abilene with my family. We'd been here all week, standing with her and staying by her side. And during that time, obviously, when you're staying somewhere out of town, we were in motels and hotels. The family was spread out. But after going home to be with my church family, I came back. I had to come back because my mom was placed back on the ventilator. And honestly, I was driving back, and my wife texted me when I was driving back to be with my stepdad. She asked me, you know, do you know where you're going to stay? And I said, I honestly don't know where we're going to stay. And we'd already kind of expended a lot of money. And because of some connections of some other pastoral friends that reached out to another pastoral friend here in Abilene, it connected with me with this beautiful ministry of Houses of Healing. And when Brian from Houses of Healing reached out to me, you have no idea what a weight was lifted off me just in the simple gist of housing. And then along with that came the gift of groceries and this financial gift your church family provided, and just the loving tenderness of the Lord has been a gift to me and my family. And my wife and I, talking with her earlier, we were just blown away. I've said it to several, I'm just speechless. Over the years in ministry, I've done a lot of helping to lead our church family toward loving like Christ and loving, bringing the love of Jesus in reality. If we share the gospel, we share acts of service to our city. But I can honestly tell you, in the 20 years of ministry, I've never been ministered to like this before in this way. And I just want to say thank you to you and your church family and your leadership. And thank you for investing in a ministry like this. Thank you for investing in my life. My mom's not able to express it right now, but I know she would say thank you. I cannot say enough what a gift it's been. And thank you very much. We love you. Bye-bye.
You guys are the hands and feet of Jesus. This pastor, that really blew me away. He's been pastor for 20 years, and he's never been ministered to like he's been ministered to through our ministry. We calculated his expenses that they had been out just being here before they found Houses for Healing, and we wrote him a check to cover all of that. So Jesus says, "Do you truly love me? Feed my sheep." You guys are doing it. That doesn't mean we can't do better. And I'm just kind of stepping out there and saying, not all of us are there. It's easy to just kind of get consumed with ourselves, but so many in this congregation are there and are sacrificially loving God's sheep for His sake. Our loving people demonstrates, it's an active demonstration of our love for God and His love for us. and it's a blessing to be a part of a church that, that loves like that. Let's if you just bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, I am thankful that you have set us the example. You are the great lover. You are the great giver. And you challenge us, you commission us to love and to give like that. I thank you for this group of people that you've assembled that does that so well. I pray blessings on this pastor, on his mom, and on his church, and on his ministry, God, that this would strengthen him and his family and strengthen the cause of Christ. Father, for every person who's put a nickel towards that ministry, who takes food and gives rides, provides prayer shawls, all of it, God, cleans people who clean the house. Father, I pray an abundance of blessing on them. I thank you that our failures don't define us, but your love and your mercy and your grace is what defines us. How you restore us and you heal us and you call us in service to others. Father, deepen us. May we do that better. May we love better. May we give better. May we serve better. May we feed your lambs. Pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we sing this last song, I want to tell you that Lizzie Fernandez is going to be baptized today. We rejoice in that. So we're excited about having another baptism. And in 2 weeks, we've got three more. God, have I said this? God's busy. Did you know God's up to things? It's a privilege to be his people. So I hope you will stay and celebrate with the Fernandez family. If you are able, let's rise as we sing.
Yeah.
with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Teresa, over there. Be seated.
Okay, Fernandez family, come on up. There we go. Way to go, Will. You're ready, man. You're right in the front. Yeah. Anybody else coming?
Yes.
Crew. I can't see around the corner. All right, Lizzie, I'm going to ask you to feel come. Don't slip on the side there and step over right across to that one. Is it warm? I told them to put, I sat down for you. What's the deal with that? Are we all here? Yes, sir.
Can I feel the water?
You can feel it. Yeah. Will's. Is it okay? Will, is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. It's all right. Acceptable. Not yet. Not yet. In just a minute, you will. Okay. So, Lizzie, we talked about these questions. We talked about this this idea of sin. And you, I think you have a good understanding of all that. So I ask you now, do you admit that you are a sinner?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And do you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes, sir.
And you want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you want to be baptized this morning? Are you ready?
Yes,
okay, if you'll step down there and sit, Dad and I are coming your way.
Would you
He's getting instructions from little brother. That's good. Lizzie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You stay right there. Stay sitting right there. Yes. Do you know that not only are we rejoicing, but the angels are rejoicing? That's what Scripture tells us. So we also talked, Lizzie, about the Holy Spirit and how I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Okay, Lord, if y'all can put a hand, if you can't reach her, maybe somebody in front of you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm just so excited and so thankful that Lizzie has said yes to your great love. I thank you for dying on the cross for her. I thank you, Father, for this family. I pray blessings on them. Lord, would you fill her with your Holy Spirit? God, from the top of her head to the tip of her toe, may she just ooze Jesus everywhere she goes and raise her up, God, as a mighty warrior for you. And bless her and this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Parents, Carlene asked me to remind you, don't leave without your children. They're up front here in the front. They're not in the rooms, okay? All right. Go in the peace of God. Go overcome your failures and serve him. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.